I guess. Good morning. It's good to see everybody this morning. Our 15th Sunday in a row with no rain. Hey, that's pretty good. Okay, ready.
Good morning. Welcome to Springs Mennonite Church. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. You are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. You, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. You, O Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we have gathered to worship in your presence and sing your praises. Our provider and our light, we put all of our trust in you. Bless us so that we can show the world your goodness and light. Let us be filled with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Jane, we're ready for the first song. How's that?
Good of the earth, the sky, the sea.
By the way, if you two want to watch, you can go into the classroom behind me, and the radio should be on so you can hear as well as see. You can even wave to the folks out here, and they'll figure this out. If you can't hear well, turn your radio to 87.9, and you should have a pretty clear reception at that point. Okay, we have a couple of things in the announcements department. Where'd my glasses go? First off, we have our church retreat fun night coming up on the 12th of September. You have a brochure about that. Be sure you fill out your name and a fun fact that's listed there and fold it up and put it in the offering. I don't know what they're going to do with that, but they're going to do something, probably some kind of a contest. Whoever can guess the most or something. I don't know. But please, we got a movie that night. We got an immense projector and sound. We don't quite have the Jumbotron I've been talking about, but we're getting close. You just kind of never know what's going to show up here. So put that on your schedule. And remember that sometime in September, we're going to go back inside to worship, or after September. The weather is going to get us, whether we want it to or not. I'm told that praying for 70 degree temperatures through January is probably not a good option around here. We'll let you know in plenty of time. We're working up some guidelines, some ways we're gonna do things in order to keep people safe and help them feel safe. So just be patient about that. The exact date will be somewhat determined by the weather. So keep that in mind. Now, this morning, we want to recognize our teachers and our school leaders, and we left off two names, Beth Bolden and Melissa Durst. So if you'll add those to your list, and then we have some folks on the list who are retired, but you never know. They may not stay completely retired for too long, and so we want to recognize those two. So if all of those on the list would mind standing up, if you're in your car, if you'll get out of the car, and we'll give you a big horn welcome. Stand up. Come on, guys. Come on. Get up. Get up. Okay, you got a horn to... All right. We're going to pray for you guys, too, because... Now, does school start this coming week? Is that right? Okay. So they're getting really close, and I don't know about Frostburg State and Garrett County schools, but they're all going to be starting soon. And, you know, this is going to be a difficult year for teachers and students, at least initially. And it's a little difficult starting a new year anyway with lots of stuff to do, but this year makes it more complicated, so we want to be sure and remember them in our prayers. Was there anything else in this? Wendy has a new phone number, so if you need to send her a note or something, be sure you check that. That's in here. We have some birthdays coming up, but not today, and anniversaries. We have our pulled pork dinner, September 19th. It'll be an outside affair. And please remember your annual reports for the annual book that will be due by, they want it by the 15th of September. So if you're one of these folks, please be sure and get that for them. There's a free yard sale by Sunday School Class Number 4 over Labor Day. Bring your stuff to the, to the closet here. Is that where y'all want it put? Yes, I heard a yes. So put it in the closet there by the stairs if you have some things you would like to do. And I noticed that our congregation of cows left. I guess we didn't have a suitable breakfast for them, so they moved on. And Audrey Kinzinger's extension has changed. They moved to a new room. It's here in the bulletin. Same phone number, but it's extension 102 instead of the previous 210. Okay. On the prayer list, I have a couple of names here. As I understand it, Bobby Layton's carotid artery surgery went well last Monday. but they did discover some lymph nodes that are a little suspicious, and so they're waiting reports on that. I mentioned Audrey has changed rooms. Rachel Rohr's surgery is the 26th, which is coming up. We still want to remember Carolyn and her family with the passing of her dad. And I was asked that we list Bob Miller. Bob is some relative of Jeremy and Andrea Hoover. No, Andrea Miller. She was a Hoover. She is a Hoover. She's a Hoover. Well, it's some relative in that family. She was a Hoover, and now she's a Hoover. Talk about not moving very far, huh? But he was in a motorcycle accident the end of last week and was in Ruby Hospital. They were having to decide what kind of surgery they were going to do. And then I also found out that Hannah Yoder contacted Lyme disease. According to Ben, they got the antibiotics early, so they think she's going to be all right, other than she's really, really tired, which I understand is a part of Lyme disease. And I asked if there was anything we could do, and he said that Carolyn and Enos were really helping with the child care. If you can help with child care maybe one day every sometime in a sequence, then maybe let Carolyn and Enos know, and we can help out in that regard. And I think that's all the prayer concerns that I know of. Does anybody have something else that we need to add? Well, then let's come to the Lord in a word of prayer, shall we? Thanks, God, for this day. Boy, it's a good one. You have given us a delightful day to gather here and worship you and to enjoy your goodness and your grace. You're amazing, Lord, in all that you do for us, even when we're not even thinking about ourselves. First off, we want to ask you, Lord, to bless these folks who are involved with teaching children and leading in schools. We have on our list, Lord, Aaron and Jamie and Holly and Beth and Pat and Brenda, Kim and Ryan, Carrie, Adrian, Phoebe, John, Brody, Beth, and Melissa. Give them wisdom, Lord. Give them patience, too. They're going to really need it at the start of this year. Help them to figure out the things they need to do that will be different in order to do their jobs and educate our kids, but also to keep everybody safe. And we come to you today, Lord, and we thank you that Bobby Layton's surgery went well, that Audrey has a new room, and we ask that you will continue to work with her docs so she can get home. We pray for Rachel and Bob and Hannah, all of whom need a special touch from you in the next few days and next few weeks. Gracious God, may your healing hands touch their bodies and make them whole. Be with their doctors and nurses and give them wisdom to do the best that they know how. And continue to be with Carolyn and her family with the loss of her dad. Death always comes at the wrong time, Lord, regardless of the circumstances. And so we ask that you would place your arms around them and then you would show them a love and a grace that they never really ever thought about before. Thank you, Lord, for the sounds and the sights of being here, for the privilege of being in this place. And we ask your blessings now in the mightiest name in the world, the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. Our scripture this morning. Let me get things moved around just here. I never know when the wind's going to come up. So I got to try to be prepared just in case. And I feel a breeze. There it is. So our scripture this morning comes from Matthew chapter 9. Okay, now I got to get a clip over here. Okay. This is the calling of Matthew, or Levi, as he's known in other places. You know, it's interesting how Jesus contacted his disciples. And I don't know if you ever thought about it, but these were folks who had a life and were busily doing their life. And then all of a sudden, kind of without warning, Jesus shows up. And in various ways, he says, I want you. And they responded. And I've always wondered if that happened today, would I drop everything and respond? And that's a question that I really can't answer because it didn't happen, I guess. But it is an issue that we need to be aware of, that we never know what God is going to ask us to do, even when we think we got everything figured out. So here's this story about Matthew. Well, I tell you what, before I read the scripture, I want to tell you this story I found. It's not really related to Matthew, but it is. My wife told me it was funny, so that gave me permission to use it. There was this little girl sitting on her grandfather's lap while he was reading to her. Some of you have probably experienced that. We could use grandmother. Are you telling me you can't hear her? It's okay. One thing you learn as a preacher is you got to pay attention to the hand signals that the family sends to you. So this little girl is sitting on her granddaddy's lap while he's reading to her. And from time to time, she would look up at him and touch his face. And then she would reach and touch her face. And just kind of periodically reach up and touch the wrinkles and the years markings and whatnot. And so then at one point she finally said, Grandpa, did God make you? And he said, yes, he did. He made me a long time ago. She says, oh. Then he reads a little more and then she says, Grandpa, did God make me too? And he said, yeah. Indeed, he said, he made you just a little while ago. So she reached up and she touched her grandfather's face and she touched her face and she said, you know, Grandpa, God's getting better at it. Okay. Start to get you in the mood here. Let's hear this scripture. As Jesus went from there, meaning where he was, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he said. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? And on hearing this, Jesus said, is it not the healthy? I said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. If you think about this story, there are a number of interesting little pieces to it. First off, there's several actors in this story. There's Jesus. There's Matthew. There are the disciples. They're the other tax collectors and sinners, as they're called. And then they're the Pharisees. So in this little story, there are five different actors who were doing or saying something, all of which have something to say about our lives. So let's take Jesus first. I mean, after all, he's in charge. He can do whatever he wants. He goes around, and for some reason, doesn't say why, he sees Matthew sitting there, and he decides that Matthew is a good candidate for what he needs him to do. Now, later on, some people believe that Matthew might even be the Matthew who wrote the gospel. But we don't know for sure on that one. But nevertheless, Matthew is just doing his average, everyday, run-of-the-mill what he does, collecting taxes. And tax collectors in Jesus' day are about the nastiest guys you could ever see. I mean, nobody liked them. Even the Romans didn't really like them because the Romans always wanted more than what they collected. So he's there collecting money, getting it out of people. And you can kind of see the scene. He's sitting there and people are around. Jesus either scurries up to the table or maybe stands behind, but somehow he gets Matthew's attention and he looks at him and he says, "Follow me." And Matthew gets up and goes with him. Now, with the fishermen, when their time with Jesus was up, at least in theory, they could go back to what they were doing. They could go back to being fishermen. But Matthew can't do that. Once he gives up his position as tax collector, the Romans are going to give it to someone else, and he's out of a job and out of a way of life. He has no alternative if he gets up and follows Jesus, except to follow Jesus. It's a complete break with his past. And I don't know why he did that. I know when I felt God wanted me to go to the mission field, that was a break with my past. And those of you who have done something like that, you recognize those feelings, but I could still come home, and I could still communicate with my family and whatnot. But Matthew, he changes his whole life just because of two words that Jesus said. So one thing we can see here is that Jesus had to be one powerful fellow. There had to be something in his gaze, in his voice, in his mannerisms, that got people to want to do what he said. So then we have, in addition to that, they go and eat at Matthew's house. Now, anthropologists tell us that eating is a universal sign of friendship. Across all cultures, eating or sharing a meal is a way of cementing some kind of an important relationship. Lots of times in the past, warring tribes would settle the agreement of the deal by having a meal together. And even today, people don't eat with people they're uncomfortable with. Now think about it. You're that way. If you ever, of course, now we have limited going into the restaurant. So let's remember back when you go into a restaurant and the tables are kind of full, but there's one big table that's got one person sitting there. What do? You just go in and sit down, take up the table? Probably not. You probably go up to the person and you say, "Do you mind if I sit here?" And that's kind of goofy. It's not his table. It belongs to the restaurant. But you feel like you're invading their space or something if you go and sit at their table. We don't eat with people we don't feel comfortable with, and we particularly don't eat with people we don't like. When was the last time the person you disliked the most, you invited them over for dinner? Well, you got plenty of time today now. You can work it out now. Just keep that in mind. You still got time. Eating is a universal symbol of acceptance. And Jesus goes and he sits down and he eats at Matthew's house. And who's at Matthew's house? All the wonderful folks of the community? Nah, it's the riffraff. It's the ones nobody likes. They're called other tax collectors, so that's really bad. And then there are sinners. And the Bible always talks about those sinners. They're really rascal kind of folks. I don't know why we have that image, because they're also talking about us, even though sometimes we think we're not really like them. So he's having a meal, and you know, when you have friends over, don't you talk and don't you kind of carry on, maybe tell some jokes, kid each other? Can you imagine the Son of God sitting down with all of the riffraff doing that? And then the disciples are there, and those poor disciples, half the time, they don't know what he's doing. They've agreed to tag along with this man Jesus, and they don't have a clue. Even at the very end, they're still confused. But there's something that draws them to Jesus. Something that they cannot say no to. I don't know who your Jesus is. If he's just somebody for every once in a while, well, I would like to suggest you got the wrong Jesus. He's a guy that you just gotta be with every chance you have. And that's what he wants, and that's what he wants us to want. And the sinners and the tax collectors must have felt that once they got over the fact that this dude's here eating with us. Golly gee, Matthew, how'd you work that one out? And then comes the Pharisees. Now, you can always count on the self-righteous religious leaders to get it wrong. I don't know if you've met many of these in your lifetime. I've met a few. Golly, they drive you nuts. Because they know all the answers, but they never bother to ask any questions. They know everything you should do, but they don't seem to want you to know what they should do. And they're always in your business, and they're always pointing out, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. Boy, you really fouled up over there. And so here come the Pharisees, and I would say in predictable fashion, what do they say? Why is he eating with them? Now, if I'm there, I think, and I'm seeing Jesus eating with these folks, I might ask the question, why is he eating with them? With the goal of finding, what is it I'm supposed to know by watching him eat with them? But the Pharisees, that's not their goal. They want to point out how awful he is. Look who he's eating with. And then Jesus says, it's not the healthy who need the doc, but the sick. Go and learn what this means. And he quotes Hosea 6:6. It says, "It's I desire mercy, not sacrifice." What does that mean? Well, God wants us to walk with him. He's forgiving enough to know that we're not going to get it right all the time. We're going to mess it up. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I think I'm pretty smart. Sometimes I act like I'm pretty dumb. And hopefully I can recognize those times and admit it. But God wants us to recognize that everybody is a mess. It's just different kinds of messes. And the messes are all equal. There's no big sin and little sin. There's no special sin and regular sin. There's just, we didn't do what God wanted us to do. Whatever that is. And God in Hosea is saying, I don't want you to follow the rules. Though I don't mean he doesn't want us to do the right thing. But what I want you to do is understand mercy and forgiveness. Now, I listen to, occasionally, I'll have a chance to hear people whose family member was murdered or robbed or something, and if it's a big public kind of a situation, they'll show the person making a comment to the judge, and they'll often say, I just want justice. That's a good idea. But there's one thing wrong with justice. It has some very far-reaching fingers. And it drags in a lot of people. I don't want God to judge me with justice. I want him to judge me with forgiveness and mercy. Because if he's going to judge me with justice, I'm in big trouble. Because every little dot and tittle, I gotta follow. And if I don't, I'm done for. And I've already messed so many of them up, I'm hopeless in that regard. But God forgives people and forgives us. Jesus is saying to the tax collectors and sinners, hey guys, you could join the kingdom too. I remember years ago I was in a church. It was in the original suburbs of the central city of Birmingham, Alabama. And it was one of these large churches that had changed neighborhoods. And I was visiting this lady one time and she said, yeah, you know, she says, right over there across the street used to live a doctor. And next to him was an attorney. And next to him was a professor. And next to him was an administrator at the hospital. And she says, today there's an alcoholic who lives there. And there's a guy who beats his wife there. And there's a drug person there. And over there, I don't know what it is, but they're just messed up people. She says, you know, there's nobody to invite to church anymore. And I remember thinking, you just described four people that are perfect candidates to invite to church. But she wasn't going to see that. And that church eventually had some huge problems, including the fact that it burned down and they had to start over and really change the face of the church. But Jesus says, hey, look, even these guys, these are the ones that need help, not the ones who got their lives together. Now, there's nothing wrong with that as long as they're living a life based on mercy and forgiveness, not based on law and rules. So what does all of this say to us today? Well, I think it's two things. Number one is, we have to ask the question, how forgiving do we understand God to be? And I'll phrase that a little crassly and say, Who is it that you think God can't forgive? And maybe you wouldn't say can't, but won't forgive. Of course, the answer is, there isn't anybody. If he'll forgive you, if he'll forgive me, he'll forgive everybody else. Doesn't matter. Now, it might take them a little longer to get the message than it does some others. And they might have a lot more to be sorry for than some others, but there's nobody who isn't eligible for God's forgiveness. So then we come to the second question is, how forgiving are you? I don't know about you, but I've been hurt in the past. I've had people do things that weren't fun, that weren't good, that weren't helpful. I've had some people do some things deliberately that I found out about to make my life miserable. The last 10 years of my mother's life, we only spoke for about 15 minutes whenever I called her. She couldn't accept my children. And then she got real sick, and she told the doc before she went into a coma, she couldn't die yet because she had to be reconciled to her son. Now, there's only two in my family, and it wasn't my brother. So I figured she's talking about me. And I decided that, you know, that was good enough. And I forgave her earlier, but at that point in time, when I knew she had said that, I kind of knew that God had worked a miracle. Now, it was too late to make up for that. She never saw my last five kids. Never had anything to do with them. And that's sad, because she wasn't willing to forgive something. I never did quite figure it out. Maybe it was being raised in the South. Maybe it was friends who said something. Maybe it was family members who said something. I don't know. I didn't say anything that I could ever figure out. But my mom just had trouble forgiving. It didn't hurt me all that much, but it really hurt her. So how forgiving are you? Are there some things in your life that you haven't forgiven? If they are, I would say to you, what's man with you? What's wrong with you, man? Just do it and be done with it. Get on with things. As my wonderful wife says, build a bridge. Still not quite sure what that means, but it sounds good. So the story of Matthew is the story of forgiveness. It's forgiveness of people who don't seem to be worth forgiving. And it's a story about the immense power of God to change people's lives. Matthew went on to become one of Jesus' strongest disciples. And I'm betting that if you've been there and you're taking wagers on who's a good candidate to be a follower of Jesus and a close confidant, it would not have been that guy. We need to look for those pre-following Matthews out there among us and invite them in. And invite them into the kingdom. We all know people, maybe they're not scoundrels, but they never go to church. They never talk about God. We run into them all the time. We need to invite them into the kingdom. Who knows? The next greatest man or woman of God may be right out there. All they need to know is they got an invitation. Maybe it's a family member. Some of those are the hardest to invite. Maybe it's that person that you're absolutely not going to invite to dinner today that you need to go speak to and say, hey, come on in. God invited me. He invited you. He invites everybody else, wherever they are and whatever they've done. What do you think about that? Let's pray. Most gracious Lord, it's a good day today. It's getting warmer. It's getting more beautiful. It's amazing what you have done in our midst in these last 15 weeks of allowing us to worship when it seemed almost impossible. And Lord, I just ask that you would take this story and let it come alive in our lives. That it would change our lives as our hearts are open and we see you in a new and a fresh way. Thank you, God, for this day and for this upcoming week. And be with those that we've prayed for who need a healing touch. And be with those who are going to be going back to school. And make their lives just incredibly wonderful to the people and students that they work with. Thank you, God, for loving us and caring about us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Jane, could we have the last psalm, please?
Our Savior and the Father's boundless love with the Holy Spirit's favor rest upon us from above. This may we abide in union with each other. Sweet communion, joys which earth cannot afford. Amen. Amen.
Lord, may we, as we leave this place, may we all go in safety to wherever we're going to spend the rest of the day. May your goodness and your joy fill our hearts. And may we find the people that you want us to meet and invite into your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Hope you have a wonderful day and week. And we'll see you next time. Same place, same station, same frequency. Honk, honk. That was a cue there.
Then sings my soul. Bye. strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power, and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. My lips shall still repeat that Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Crimson stain, he washed me white.